Jonah chapter 4, I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 10 first. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil and that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, and I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? You may be seated.
Well, it's a privilege to be here this morning and bring you greetings from the Traeger Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. We are glad for your support of our endeavors out there, and God has richly blessed us there, and the church is growing, and we have some adjustments to make because of that, but God has been faithful. And we are excited about the opportunities that God brings our way there in Westmoreland County. Thinking this morning about the book of Jonah, I've entitled the message, Encounter with God. I don't know how you find it in your life, but have you ever tried to move God off his throne and put yourself there instead? Now, we wouldn't say it in those terms, probably. But have you ever disregarded the commands of God and thought you had a better way? Every time that we sin, that's exactly what we're doing. And throughout the book of Jonah, we see him, Jonah, doing that same thing. God had a specific purpose for Jonah, and God made that purpose clear to Jonah. And we see that it took quite a bit. It took some learning for Jonah to accomplish that. Now, I want to tell you here this morning, God has a specific purpose for you. God has a plan for your life. And the question is, are you fulfilling that purpose? Are you fulfilling the plan that God has for you, or are you trying to tell God what he should plan for your life? Each one of us has a role to play in the body of Christ. And there isn't one of us that is unimportant. God spoke to Jonah in his own unique way. And he told Jonah, there was two things he told Jonah to do. We find that in chapter 1, verse 2. Two things he told Jonah to do was to go to Nineveh, and secondly, was to cry against that city. And God told him why. He wanted him to do that. Because their wickedness is come up before me. God saw the wickedness of Nineveh, and he is asking Jonah to go and cry against that city because of that wickedness. It is kind of a unique situation that we have in Scripture here. The only case that we have of God calling a prophet to go to the heathen people. Nineveh was not a city of Israel. Nineveh was a city of Assyria, Israel's enemy. And God is calling Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against them because of their wickedness. And I think we can understand, or we will see, that Jonah's the only reason was not just for Nineveh's good, but it was also to teach Israel a lesson. And maybe more specifically, to teach Jonah a lesson. Can you imagine a heathen city repenting of their sins by the preaching of a man from the enemy country? And yet the people of Israel were not repenting when God was over and over sending them prophets. God had a lesson to teach them. I think we know the story well, but I'm going to repeat some of this story to us to remind us again. Jonah went the other way. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. And we want to look at why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, and we'll come to that later. Jonah decided to go to Tarshish. Now if you can picture on a map Jonah needing to go to Nineveh, which was heading east. Instead of going that direction, Jonah chose to go to Tarshish, which was west. He decided to go the other direction. Tarshish was thought to be towards the ends of the earth. That's where Jonah wanted to go. He intended to go as far away from Nineveh as he possibly could. Can we relate to Jonah in that? Maybe some of us can. Maybe some of us would rather go the other direction when God speaks to us and has something for us to accomplish. Jonah's attempt to go the other direction was futile. He boarded a ship to go to Tarshish. But Scripture tells us that God sent a great wind, a storm like no other. Even the sailors feared for their lives. It seemed as though everyone was going to be lost. All hope seemed to be gone. The sailors became desperate. Their question was to Jonah, "Who are you? Call on your God." Jonah was found asleep on the ship. "Call on your God." Jonah told them who he was and that he served the one true God. The sailors finally did what Jonah told them to do, to throw him overboard. That's the only way the storm will stop. They threw him overboard, and it says there was a calm. There again, the sailors feared God. It says they feared him exceedingly, and they sacrificed to God. They made promises to him. They saw something different here. But Jonah was cast into the waters. But God, there again, provided for Jonah's safety. God intended to use Jonah for a specific purpose. And God was not going to let him go without him fulfilling that purpose. If God had wanted Jonah dead, he could have left him in that sea. No chance of survival. But God had a plan for him, and God sent a great fish that swallowed Jonah. God, in his mercy, was protecting Jonah. God wanted to break Jonah's disobedient will, and he wasn't finished with Jonah yet. And so Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in that fish. One of the things that comes to mind there, even God left Jonah struggle a bit. In chapter 2, as we read that, it seems as though Jonah was about at the end of his life. Maybe it was at that point then that the fish swallowed him. But God sent protection for Jonah. And in chapter 2, verse 10, it says that God commanded the fish. God spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah was not where God wanted him. Jonah was not going the direction that God intended for him to go. God sent the fish to put Jonah back on track. That fish was Jonah's way of getting from the middle of the sea back to land. God protected him. And I don't think it took 3 days and three nights for the fish to swim that distance. But there, God, there in his divine will, had a purpose for that. God had a specific plan, and he was going to send Jonah to fulfill that plan. There's even something we can learn from Jonah's time in the well. God heard Jonah's plea. God heard Jonah's prayer from the belly of that fish, and God answered. Even though Jonah had been going the wrong direction, even though Jonah was not fulfilling the purpose that God had for him, but God answered his prayer, even when he was disobedient. In chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. God is giving him a second chance to fulfill the plan that he had for him. God wants obedience from us. And God is reminding Jonah, there's a task I asked you to do and you haven't fulfilled it yet. God tells him the second time to go to Nineveh. Am I going the direction that God has called us to go? Are the storms of life that come my way, are they my own doings? We need to walk the path that God has for us. And God almost never leaves us go to step two until we've completed step one. And that's where he comes back to Jonah again. You have not completed step one. We're not just going to forget about this. We're not just going to let you move on. God had a purpose for Jonah. And like I mentioned at the beginning, God has a purpose for each one of us. The purposes that he has for us are not always the same. Our walk in life is a little bit like a hurdle race. I don't know if you're familiar with a hurdle race where there's the running and jumping of hurdles. You can't just decide to skip one. It disqualifies you. You have to take each one in succession. That's how it is when we're walking with Christ, when we're walking with God. We need to take each situation as he brings it to us. And he's not going to let us go around one hurdle, one that we might not like. It's going to disqualify us. I believe Jonah wanted to move on. He made that very clear, I think, in his prayer to God. But God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. We're not going to forget about Nineveh. We have a purpose. We have something to do for Nineveh. If you notice in chapter 3, his message for Jonah to Nineveh is slightly different. He still wants him to go to Nineveh and preach against it. But he's telling Jonah here in chapter 3, you say the words I want you to say. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. This time he's not really telling Jonah what the message is for the people of Nineveh. You go and then I'll give you the message for these people. Kind of interesting, that's not a typical message from the Old Testament. Nearly every mission call in the Old Testament is to the nations around Israel to come and see. Come and see what God is doing among his people. But here the message is for Jonah to go and tell these people the message. And really, that is the message we have from the New Testament. Jesus' call to us is to go and tell the world the message of salvation. I think too often in modern America, in our modern Christianity, we think it's enough just to draw people into the church, bring the people in. But God's message is to go and tell them. Not just bring them in. Not just have them come and see. But go and tell the message. And that's the mentality we need to take in our churches today. The come and see mentality, as many churches have today, we're not getting the message out like God wants us to. God wants us to go. The church is primarily for training, for equipping, for encouraging believers, getting us equipped to go and tell the message to others. Well, as the story goes on of Jonah, Jonah does go to Nineveh. He preaches the message. And the message is, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The message to the people of Nineveh is you have 40 days and God's going to destroy the city. 40 days to repent. And you know, that's exactly what happened. There was repentance. The repentance started from the top down. The king called the people of Nineveh to repentance. The word of the Lord, let me begin reading in chapter 3, verse 6. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne, he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and turn the violence that is in their hands. And he says, why? In verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? We've got a chance here. If we repent, God may not bring destruction. It's exactly what happened. God saw their repentance. God saw it was genuine repentance. They were not just sorry for what they had done, but they turned from their sin. They made a turn and went the other direction. And you know what? It's interesting to note that's the last we hear about Nineveh. That's all this book tells us about Nineveh. They were sorry. They repented of their sins. You know, the story of Jonah, the book of Jonah, is not a story about Nineveh. It's a story about a man that God called to serve him. It's a story that God has for you and me. God wants us to follow him, to do what he calls us to do. And that brings us to chapter 4, where God deals with Jonah in a specific way. Jonah, I think chapter 4 answers the question as to why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. It tells us why Jonah would rather die than go to Nineveh. Verse 2 of chapter 4. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he did not want the people of Nineveh to repent. Jonah would rather have seen the people of Nineveh destroyed. They were, after all, the enemies of Israel. And Jonah says, I didn't want to go because I knew you were a gracious God. I knew you would relent if the people repented. Exodus chapter 34. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Jonah knew his scripture. Jonah knew that God was a gracious God, that he would show compassion. He did not want the people of Nineveh to repent and receive the blessing and forgiveness of God. Jonah is trying to tell God how it should be done. How about you and I? We wouldn't say that we don't want anyone to repent. But how do we feel about God's love and grace? It's wonderful when it's directed towards me. But how do we feel when God's love and kindness is directed towards someone else? Maybe someone we don't like so well. Maybe our enemies. We need to remember that not one of us deserves God's grace in our lives. I think there's times that we expect things from God. We think God owes us something. We deserve it. But Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 3, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Almost seems as though Jonah felt that he could earn God's grace. And now that God was compassionate on Nineveh, Jonah would rather die. And maybe we can understand a bit why he felt that way. Jonah may have been looked at as a traitor. Here he had gone to preach to the enemies of Israel and they repented. Jonah seemed to rather die than go back and face the people of Israel. And Jonah was angry with God. Chapter 4, verse 1. "It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." How would you feel if God called you to go preach to a city, a large city? Nineveh was a very large city. And the people repented. We'd think we'd feel good about that. But Jonah's reaction was that he was very angry. So angry that he wanted to die. And God asks him the question, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Verse 4, chapter 4. We don't have recorded any answer that Jonah gives to that question. But instead he goes outside the city. And sat himself down. I don't know what he expected. Maybe he went out there and thought maybe God will destroy them after all. But God, again, had a lesson for Jonah. As Jonah sat there under the hot sun, God caused a gourd to grow. And it grew and provided shade for Jonah. And verse 6 tells us that Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. He was glad for the protection that this gourd provided him from the sun. But God had prepared something else for Jonah. In verse 7, God provided a worm that it smote the gourd, and the gourd withered. Now his protection was gone. And on top of that, in verse 8, when the sun arose, God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and he wished himself to die. Jonah is so upset, so angry with God, he wants to die. Have you ever been angry with God? I think there are times when we think that we deserve something for God, from God, and he doesn't give us. We may tend to become angry with him. There are other times when we think that someone else is unworthy, and we're angry at God for giving them blessings. Blessings that we don't feel they deserve. We become angry with God when God takes some blessings from us which we think he has no right to take away from us. Those are things that Jonah experienced, and he was angry with God. God asks him again. In verse 9, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And this time Jonah does give a response. And God's answer to Jonah's response in verse 10, the Lord said, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? And that's the end of the story. We don't see much of a response. We don't really, it kind of leaves us hanging. And we wonder, why didn't the story end at the end of chapter 3 when the people repented? Much better place to end the story, isn't it? The story wasn't about Nineveh. But the story is about God's dealing with a man whose heart is cold. Jonah wanted the city of Nineveh destroyed. He had more compassion for a gourd than he did for the people and the city of Nineveh. I think God is trying to tell Jonah, look at what you're saying. You didn't cause the plant to grow, and yet you loved it. You wanted it to survive. God is saying, neither did you cause Nineveh to grow, and yet you wanted it destroyed. And the book ends with that question from God, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? We don't know what Jonah's response was to that question. We don't know really even if God got through to the heart of Jonah. We don't know if Jonah repented. We don't know if Jonah learned his lesson. But you know, that's really not that important. What's important is, have you learned the lesson? Have I learned the lesson? This story is not just about Jonah, it's about you and me. What about you? What would you do in Jonah's place? What would your response be? What does God see in your heart? What are you telling God by your priorities? Is there something that you love more than God? Are you more concerned about your own reputation, how you look? Are you more concerned about that than you are your neighbors? Are you more concerned with your personal security, your personal comfort, than you are in helping someone else, whether they're next door or whether they're across the ocean? What is it that concerns you? What are you concerned about? What is God concerned about? Do those match? Do the answers to those two questions match? If they don't, I think it's time we take a look at our own hearts. God's concerns do not change. But God is on a mission to change hearts. And He's not so much concerned as to where you are. He's more concerned about who you are. And He's more concerned in what direction you're going. God's will is more about our hearts and our characters than it is about a place. God was after Jonah's heart. Like I said, we don't know what the outcome of that was. But God is after your heart. God is after my heart. We can know the outcome of that. Sometimes God asks us to do things, not necessarily because He needs them done or wants them done, but because He wants to first and foremost work in our hearts. He has something to teach us about Himself and about His character. He wants our character. He wants our hearts to match His. And so I ask of you this morning, consider your own heart. Examine your motives, your fears. Examine your willingness to obey God. Jesus Christ came to this earth. And His purpose for coming to this earth was to seek and to save those that were lost. Those that avoided Jesus and His ministry here on this earth, those that disdained Him, were the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They thought they knew how things should be done. They were the ones that would have rather told God how things should be done. They had their act together, so they thought. And yet, they missed the one who was the reason that this act was put together. My prayer, my concern for each one of us here this morning is that we don't miss out on God's grace because we thought we deserved it. God's grace cannot be earned. Grace is a gift. And a gift cannot be earned. Grace, God's grace, is given to each one of us. It's given to those who do not deserve it. And I think that's a big lesson in the book of Jonah. Jonah felt as though God owed him something. Jonah wanted to tell God where to go, how things should be done. Jonah wanted to tell God how things should be done and who should receive his blessings and who shouldn't. We need to leave those things to God. God knows better than we do how those things should be done. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5, he says that we are to love our enemies. We are to pray for those who persecute us. Seems as though that's the lesson he was trying to teach Jonah. The city of Nineveh deserved to be destroyed because of their wickedness. But God, in his grace, saw their repentance and he left them live. Where are you this morning? Where am I this morning? Am I still trying to earn God's grace and favor in my life? Or am I willing to repent and leave the results to God? Let's kneel together in prayer. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, this morning for your love to us. Thank you for the grace that you've extended to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you minister to us through your Holy Spirit. You give us direction for life. Lord, I pray for each one here this morning that each of us would be willing to submit our hearts to you. That we would be willing to go to the places you want us to go. That we would be willing to share the message that you want us to share. Lord, help us not to become comfortable in our lives, but help us to serve you and to honor you. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.